From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, welcome to our Gospel program. This is the final Let the Bible Speak broadcast of 2001. I want to thank everyone for their support and for their prayers for our gospel witness over the airwaves. To all those who have listened in and who have contacted us during the year that's passed, may I wish you a very happy and prosperous new year. I would like to thank George and all the other members of the Radio Star Country staff for their help during the year. May the Lord grant to you all a happy 2002. Tonight I will be playing the last extract from the testimony of Mr. Robert Bell. Last week we heard how he had been converted. Shortly after his conversion, he saw his sister-in-law and her husband, Mr. and Mrs. King, converted, and then his own wife, Alma. He takes up his story tonight, in the year 1992, and tells of how his father was brought to Christ, just before he died. We have had many requests for the full testimony, which we happily supply free to anyone who asks for it. Be sure to get yours. Next week, we will begin featuring the testimony of Mrs. Jeannie Graham of Banbridge. Do listen out for that marvellous story of God's mercy. But here's the final extract of Robert Bell's testimony. Following that, we will take up again our study of heaven in the series The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. Here's Robert Bell.
In 1992, my health was to go just like that there. I was out one day, and all of a sudden my back went, and I was taken to the Mother's Hospital in Macherfeld. I lay there for a month, and then I was transferred to Musgrave Park Hospital, and I lay there for another month. And as I lay there in hospital, my wife was taken to a hospital in the Mother's Hospital in Macherfeld. And there she lost her second child. And my father at the same time had been taken out of the hospital, and he was diagnosed as having cancer. So the three of us were in different hospitals all at the one time. But again, God makes no mistakes, because I had had a small business at that time, and things were really going well. In fact, things were starting to go nearly, looking back at it, going too well. Because up to that there, I had been attending faithfully my place of worship, but I'd have to say that the business that I ran, the work began to overtake the prayer meetings, and I started staying away from the prayer meetings. But you know, God in His love and in His mercy can bring you to a particular place where He'd speak to you. And I believe that God brought me to that point in hospital, but I got out of hospital the exact same day as my father. And I can remember getting home, and as I landed at our own yard, my mother had brought my father out of hospital just at the same time, and I hadn't seen Daddy for some 2 months. And as I went to the car and looked into the car, I could see the big, strong man was nothing but a small frame. And the colour that he used to have, a lovely red pinky colour, was now a grey yellow colour, and his eyes were staring. And I began to cry. And I began to cry as well, because as I looked at him, I knew that he wasn't going to be long about, and that he still wasn't saved. And you know, God makes no mistakes, because for almost a year after that, I was in a plastic cast after that operation. But I can remember going up and down to see my father. He lived just up the road from us. And I can remember going up and down the road every day to see my father. Daddy was a hard man. And to witness to your own are the hardest people to witness to. But you know, as I went up and down the road at night and through the day, God always opened the door, and I was able to read with him small portions of scripture, read me daily bread readings to him, and talk to him. But he never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And as his condition deteriorated, he was taken into hospital. Now my father was placed in a 5-bedded ward in the Middlester Hospital, but there was no other people in the 5-bedded only my father and a Christian man out of our church, Barclay Mora. And Barclay Mora was taken into the hospital and was put on the bed beside Daddy. And Barclay Mora began to witness to Daddy, and Daddy received the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Saviour some 2 weeks before he died.
Once again, we turn to the subject of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. And we have been looking at the subject of heaven. The last time we looked at this topic, I dealt with the fact that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There must be an inward, a spiritual, a God-wrought change made in us before we may get into heaven. I do not think that there is another doctrine which requires more emphasis than this. For so many believe that they are on the way to heaven simply because they have partaken in some religious ritual. George Whitefield, the great 18th century evangelist, who frequently preached to tens of thousands of people in the open air in England and Wales and Ireland and America, was once asked why it was that he so often preached on the text, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," John 3:3. He replied by quoting John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The change a sinner needs is one that God must work, and that by the power of his Spirit. I quoted Ezekiel 36 and the verse 26 the last time we studied the matter. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." This is a change that no mere going to church or being baptized or partaking of any religious ordinance can work. It must be wrought by God. Acts 16 and the verse 14 provides us with proof of that. We read, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." The last time we were looking at this subject, I ran out of time. I had just mentioned the last point that I wanted to deal with when we came to the end of the program. So we're going to take up our study at that point, and it was, the change that is required for us to enter heaven will only be completed at our resurrection. The saved sinner has undergone an inward change. That inward change will manifest itself in many ways that are visible to the eye, visible outwardly in their life. None of us may be able to see the diseased organ that is bringing poor health to a friend, but we can see the evidence of its presence in the loss of colour on the cheek, or the loss of weight, and the loss of energy and strength. And likewise, we may not see the work undertaken by a surgeon to remove that diseased organ, but we can see the good effect that its removal has had upon our friend by the return of strength, the brightness of their eye, and the colour of their cheek. Now, so it is with the Christian. They no longer speak or act or behave as once they did. Paul spoke of the people in the city of Corinth and what they were like before their conversion. Listen to what he said. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." 1 Corinthians 6, the verses 9 to 11. What a change conversion makes. But the change is not complete. At death, the spirit of the Christian lays aside the body of clay, and the spirit is carried to the presence of Christ. Proof of that is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verses 1 to 8. I leave you to read that for yourself. But in those verses, it speaks of the believer being absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that happens when we die. But the Christian is not finished with our body. No, the perfection into which the soul has been transported upon death will also be experienced later by their body. It lies in the grave and is reduced to dust, but there is a day coming when it will be brought forth from the dust. This is something that the people of God from the beginning of time have looked forward to. Listen to Job. The book of Job, the chapter 19 and the verses 25 to 27 reads, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Daniel prophesied of the same event. Daniel chapter 12, the verses 2 and 3, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever." Perhaps the most detailed revelation of this event is given us in 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to the words of Paul the Apostle. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Just what likeness will we be turned into? Well, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, the verses 1 and 2, that we shall be made like Christ. We shall share in his glory as our bodies are glorified. What a prospect awaits those who come to Christ as sinners and receive the gift of eternal life from his hand? Will you not obey the gospel call and obey the exhortation to repent and believe? May God help you to do so. Please join us again next week, 10 in the morning, 9 in the evening. Good night, and a very happy new year to you all.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.